the third conference on the Holy Spirit, the special charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. In addition to the general gifts of the Holy Spirit as found in the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we have in the 12th chapter of Romans and again the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians a description of special gifts that are given to each person to enable that person to carry out the particular destiny that God has appointed for that person. These are special gifts in the sense that not everybody receives these gifts. We receive the particular gifts that are needed to carry out our mission on earth, to carry out the purpose for which we were created. We call them charismatic gifts. Charisma means they're freely given. We do not earn them, but they are put at our disposal so that we may fulfill God's destiny in our regard. I would like to read the passages from the 12th chapter of Romans and the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that describe these special charismatic gifts. This is chapter 12 of the Epistle to the Romans, beginning with verse 6. God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we are to prophesy, we should do it in according to the amount of faith we have received. If we serve others, we should serve in that spirit. If we teach, we teach by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we encourage others, we encourage them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there are different kinds of special spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord, and we can each do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. The Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. I think that's the most important verse. The Holy Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. Some of us speak with wisdom, while others speak with knowledge. These gifts come from the same Spirit. To others, the Spirit has given great faith, to others the power to heal the sick, or the power to work miracles. Some of us are prophets, some of us are able to discern the prophecy which God's Spirit is present. Others can speak different kinds of tongues, and still others can tell what these tongues mean. But it is the same Spirit that does all of this and decides which gifts to give to each of us. Continuing that same 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 28. God chose some people to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers. He chose some to work miracles or to heal the sick or help others, some to be leaders, some to speak different kinds of language. Not everyone is called to be an apostle. Not everyone called to be a prophet. Not everyone called to be a teacher. Not everyone called to work miracles. Not everyone called to heal the sick. Not everyone called to speak different kinds of languages. Not everyone is able to interpret these languages. And then, the final verse of chapter 12, Paul says, I will now show you a much better way. In other words, the highest of all of these charismatic gifts is what is called agapic love, A-G-A-P-I-C. In the New Testament, there are two words used to describe love. Philon, P-H-I-L-E-I-N, and then agapine. Philon is just general love, but agape is this special love that we have, this unconditional love, which St. Paul then describes very fully in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. The love of which I speak is slow to lose patience, looks always for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive, it is neither anxious to impress others, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love always has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. Love is not touchy, oversensitive. It does not keep an account of evil, nor does it gloat over the wickedness of others. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. Love can outlast everything. Love never fails. The power to practice agapic love comes to us from the Holy Spirit. We should ask for this gift of agape or agapic love. We should, in a certain sense, give God no rest, no peace, until we are given this particular gift. It means unconditional love for others. It means to put the needs of others ahead of our desires, and to do this consistently. This particular love is, as Jesus expresses it, a new commandment I give you, that you love others as I, Jesus Christ, has loved you. We know in the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse 45, Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for others. Regardless of our particular vocation, our particular destiny, all of us are called to the practice of this agapic love. In order to carry out this love, it is important that we try to discern the particular destiny God has called us. Now, this destiny changes from time to time, and in a later conference on discernment, I will explain more fully how we are able to discern the particular destiny that God has for us. But in general, it means to take a look, first of all, at the particular needs that are in the world today, that are in society. Where are the needs of people today? And then secondly, to look at our particular talents, our particular gifts, these charismatic special gifts, the particular things that God has given us the grace and the power to do well. And then we try to fit together the needs of the world and our particular talents. And to the extent that we're able to do that, we will be practicing this agapic love. We believe that God has a particular purpose in mind when He creates each one of us. In fact, we can say that there are many different reasons why each of us has been created, so that our God-given destiny changes, perhaps from year to year, or even from day to day, or hour to hour. And so we must try to take time every day to discern, where can I do the greatest good for the most people? Where can I use my talents, my energy, the gifts that God has given me, so that I will accomplish the greatest possible good? St. Paul, in that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, says that each of us has our special gifts, but they are given for the common good. They're not to be given to be used selfishly for our own needs or our own desires, but they are to be put at the disposal you might say, of the whole world, so that we can do the greatest possible good wherever we are. We are, of course, free to follow our God-given destiny or to refuse. If we refuse, if we say no to what our conscience tells us is our particular God-appointed destiny, God does not give up on us, but simply falls back on a second or a third destiny in keeping with the particular path we have chosen to follow. God continues to love us regardless of how often we might say no, and regardless of the situation in which we find ourselves. We believe, as St. Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 28, for those who love God, all things work together for good. And it's the Holy Spirit with these special charismatic gifts that enables us to bring good out of every situation in our life. Our destiny then changes, perhaps from year to year, even day to day. Our destiny is God's will for us at any particular moment of our life. And one of the purposes for daily prayer is to try to discern as accurately as we can the particular destiny, the particular work, the particular task that God is calling us to carry out on that particular day. The Holy Spirit is that third person of the Holy Trinity who is entrusted with revealing to us our particular destiny. This then is why we need to have a very deep, close, special, intimate relationship of love with the Holy Spirit, and to keep ourselves open to whatever the Spirit speaks to us through our conscience, through our common sense, or in various other ways. There is a special charismatic gift for every possible destiny. One of these charismatic gifts that St. Paul talks about in chapter 12 and then again in chapter 14 of the epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians, it's the gift of speaking in tongues. The special word for that, the Greek word, is glossolalia. We know evidently that a number of the people in the church in Corinth was given this gift of tongues, while others were not. And so one of the main reasons that Paul wrote the first epistle to the Corinthians was to straighten them out in regards to this gift of tongues, because it is so extraordinary. People who have this gift are tempted to think that they are better than others, and that if we lack this gift, it means that we are displeasing God. This is not true at all. Paul is very clear on that, that of all the charismatic gifts, he puts this gift of tongues at the bottom, that it's the least of the important. Let me read to you. This is chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Beginning with verse 18, Paul says, I thank God that I speak on known languages more than any of you, but words that make sense can help the church. That's why in the church I would rather speak five words that everyone can understand than to speak 10,000 words in a language that others don't know. It would seem that in the beginning, this gift of tongues was used in missionary work for helping people who spoke a different language from what the apostles did to be able to understand the meaning of these words in their own language. This is the way it is described in the second chapter of Acts, and it seems to be the way that Paul is talking about when he says that no one should speak in tongues unless there be someone there to interpret the meaning of these words. In other words, to translate these foreign languages into a language that the people would understand. Today, it would seem that this gift of tongues is more given for helping people to praise God. That it's not so much for to instruct others, but it's a way of freeing up one's own inner spirit in relating to God and speaking to God. And so, with this charismatic gift of tongues that has been rather popular for the last 30 or 40 years in the Catholic Church, has been very popular in some of the Protestant churches, is a gift that is freely given by the Lord and to help them to praise God better. But in no way does it mean that the person with the gifts is better than the person without the gifts. It's a charismatic gift, a special gift that will be given to a particular person or persons to enable them to carry out their particular God-given destiny. Whereas people that do not have this gift, they may have some of the other gifts that St. Paul says are much more important. For example, the gift of teaching, the gift of prophecy, the gift to be able to read the signs of the times and know which direction we need to go in our life, the gift of knowledge, the gift of understanding, all of these gifts, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing the sick. Paul insists that all of them are of greater importance for the church, for the body of Christ, than the gift of tongues. According to St. Paul, all of us are charismatics. All of us have special charismatic gifts from the Holy Spirit, and that they are to be used, as Paul says, for the common good, not selfishly for our own benefit, but used to be of the greatest possible help to others. Each day we should ask ourselves, how can I use my particular talents and gifts to do the greatest good for the most people? It is not a sin of pride to recognize these special charismatic gifts we have received from the Holy Spirit. Rather, it is a lack of gratitude when we refuse to acknowledge the particular gifts and talents we have received from God. Such a failure to recognize our charismatic gifts is what we call false pride. And it is not at all pleasing to God. Very often our reason for failure to recognize our particular talents is due to laziness, to sloth, our unwillingness to use the efforts needed to develop these talents, these gifts that we have received, and then to use them to do the greatest possible good. As long as we recognize these gifts as freely given to us by the Holy Spirit, then we do not have to be afraid of accepting them and giving credit to God for them. In no way do we displease God when we acknowledge our charismatic gifts. Very often we need the help of others to enable us to discern the particular gifts that we have received. And so we should have spiritual friends or a spiritual director to bring to our attention the particular charismatic gifts that we have, and then to discern how we can use them to fulfill the needs of our society, so that that each of us makes a worthwhile contribution to the establishment of the kingdom of God upon earth. Having recognized our special gifts from the Holy Spirit, we then have the responsibility to try to discern how best to use each of these gifts to do the greatest good for the world today. Just as Jesus saw himself as a servant to others. We should strive to be a humble servant, to carrying out the needs of others, even in the humblest way, using each of our special gifts to do the fullest possible extent for the common good. In an earlier conference, I explained how St. Thomas Aquinas describes the Holy Spirit as the mutual love flowing between the first and second persons of the Blessed Trinity. This divine love of the Holy Spirit is now ready to pour out upon us, both in those general gifts of the Holy Spirit that we described in the last conference, the gift of wisdom, understanding, of knowledge, counsel, of fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. And then in all of those special gifts that will enable us to carry out the particular destiny that God has appointed to each one of us. We can think of these gifts as divine energy flowing out of the Holy Trinity and into the world, into the life of each one of us. This divine energy is the Holy Spirit. It is invisible, but possesses the infinite, unlimited power of God Himself. When the Virgin Mary asked Gabriel how it would be possible for her, a virgin, to conceive a child in her womb, Gabriel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God." It is God's will that the Holy Spirit should come upon each of us by means of the general gifts and the special charismatic gifts. Although invisible, this infinite power and energy of God is ready to come into each of us and enable us to become holy and to become sons and daughters of God. So let us open our hearts, our souls, our life, our whole being, and invite this infinite power and this infinite energy of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. Many scientists today claim that at the present period of human evolution, we're using only about 20% of our brain power. In other words, we have been given the physical brain to handle 4 or 5 times more intelligence and knowledge than we now have at our disposal. It would seem that the present vast explosion of technology in the world is all a part of God's plan to lead us to a much higher level of intelligence. However, we need also to develop an equally higher level of love in order to handle all of this new knowledge. We are in danger of making the same mistake as Adam and Eve. We are feasting ourselves on the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before eating sufficiently of the fruit of the tree of life. The fruit of the tree of life is the Holy Spirit, or, if you wish, love. So it behooves us to open ourselves more fully to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, both the general gifts and the charismatic gifts. We must not allow the growth of technology on earth to outrace our growth in the Holy Spirit and in love. In the next conference, I will discuss some of the obstacles that prevent the Holy Spirit from pouring out an infinite supply of divine grace, of divine mercy, of divine love. In the 7th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, St. Stephen accused the religious leaders of his day of resisting the Holy Spirit. We today need to examine our consciences to see where we are resisting the Holy Spirit. Where are we preventing the Holy Spirit from pouring out upon us the infinite power and energy of God's love? Where are we failing to make full use of the many special charismatic gifts the Holy Spirit is ready to bestow upon us? Where are we allowing our knowledge of good and evil to outdistance our growth in love? Where are we failing to eat sufficiently of the fruit of the tree of life? That fruit is divine love, or agapic love. In other words, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the end of the 3rd conference on the charismatic special gifts of the Holy Spirit.